giant sales, that sort of thing. It happens every time of the year by calendar. There are other times. There's times when things just happen. We don't go out tomorrow and plant tomatoes outside, right? You wait till May 15th or later around here. We don't paint the exterior of our house in February. We don't go ice fishing in July. There's just times when things are done. And there's another time that guides us in our thoughts this morning. There's a time that moves toward an end point, toward a purpose, toward a goal. I'm reminded of that great song first written by Pete Seeger in the 1950s, "To Everything There's a Time and a Purpose for Every Purpose Under Heaven." Made popular, more popular by, I think it was the Byrds, right, in 1965. Still a great song, says I, still a great song. There is a purpose in some time. Time is going someplace. Travel north and west of Crystal Lake in the fall, you get up toward Marengo. You can tell what time it is. The apple trees are ripe with their fruit. The pumpkins are on the ground. They're ripe. Happens every year. That's what apple trees do. That's what pumpkin vines do. They flourish, and finally they produce their fruit, and we go off and pick it. There's the time. It goes toward an end. Several decades ago, my wife and I were expecting our first child. She was well along, as we say at Christmas time, great with child, right? And it was a day when she sat on the side of her bed and she said, "You know, honey, I don't think I want to go through with this." Well, things don't work like that, right? Things don't work like that. In the United States, every day, more than 10,000 women give birth. Around the world, every day, more than 350,000 women give birth. It's so predictable, so regular, that within 40 weeks, give or take, that little buckaroo is coming, ready or not, right? It's happening. Comes to the end. Maybe not exactly the day, but it's going to be here. It's going to be here. St. Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, when the time had fully come, when the time had arrived and everything was ready, God sent his son. God sent his son. Born of a woman, born under the law. God acted. He sent his son. When the time was right, God chose to act. Now, there are good students of the Bible, good historians of the Bible, who say that the world was very ready for Jesus to come in the first century, around A.D. 1, maybe 4 B.C., depending on how you tell time. The world was ready on several levels. In a sense, the soil of the world was very, very fertile. For example, culturally, there was one language. Alexander the Great had conquered the known world at that time, and part of the collateral things that he did was he established one common language, the Greek language. So that somebody writing a letter in Jerusalem to a church back in Rome, 1,500 miles away, could send a letter of communication that would have been read and understood in a common language. That was huge in the ancient world. Politically, the Roman government had gone through the chaos and the brutality of the civil wars, Caesar and Brutus and all that. And now, finally, there was a period of peace where things could settle down and good things could start happening. It was a peace that was going to continue in one form or another for about 200, 225 years. When you're at peace, you can travel and you can have a lot of interchange with people. Geographically, the Romans had done a wonderful thing with an extensive and a very fine road system. Travelers going to Rome today can go just east of Rome, and you can walk on the so-called Appian Way, the Via Appia, and you can walk on the very same roads, the very same bricks that St. Paul himself most assuredly walked on too. Extensive system, starting in Rome, going all over the world. It was for this reason that the poet said, all roads lead to Rome, because they did. Travel was good, easy, fast, and trade was good, easy, fast as well. Spiritually, the gods of the day were floundering. The philosophies no longer could hold out hope or promise for the people. Lots of new different religions were popping up almost left, right, center. So much so that at one point, St. Paul, preaching in Athens, looked around the marketplace and saw all the different gods. Here's one, there's one, there's another one, there's three over there in the corner, some over there in the side. And then there's one over here that was listed to an unknown god, kind of like a utility infielder for the gods, because he can do just about anything, just in case you needed one more. So the time was right. St. Paul wrote, the time had fully come for God to send his son. And into a world that was so well prepared, so ready, so fertile, God sent a son. And yet God doesn't act when we are ready. God doesn't necessarily act when the world is ready. It wasn't as though God was in his heavens looking down at the world and was saying, you know, when the Romans get this road finished from Rome over east to the Adriatic Sea, or when the Great Recession of AD 1 is passed, or BC 5 is passed, then I'll act. Or when the whole world, not just the known world, but the whole world, the populated North and South America, when all of that has one common language, then I'll act. God acts when he wants to act. God decides the time is full when he decides the time is full. And when he's decides the time is full and ready to do something, he does something. Doesn't wait for us to act. He acts. And when the fullness of his time had come, he sent a son so that through that son's birth, ministry, suffering, death, and resurrection, we would now become children ourselves. As St. Paul wrote it, there was a time when you were under the law and you were like a child, maybe an infant, a toddler, a youth, and you were under the instruction of a nanny or a school tutor or some kind of a master of some kind in your early years. That's the way it used to be, Paul said, but now things have changed, and because Son of God came, he made you sons and daughters as well. And when he made you sons and daughters, that means you no longer under the law, you're under grace. And that means that you've got all the rights and privileges of being sons and daughters of God. You share in divine things. You're no longer a little toddler. You're a mature adult. You've got all the blessings that are available from God himself. That was then, this is now. And Jesus says, or rather, Paul says, Jesus changed things. A little bit of history here. At the end of World War II, on August 6th and August 9th, 1945, American bombers dropped a new kind of bomb on two cities in Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The first and only time atomic weapons have been used in times of war, and the world has not been the same since. September 11th, 2001, 19 militants associated with the Islamic group Al-Qaeda hijacked four airliners and they attacked strategic places, targets on the eastern seaboard. And our world has not been the same since. Things changed. When the God of the universe and the God of the cosmos decided to act, whether the world was ready or not, and the world was ready, he acted. And for us, sons and daughters of God, the world has not been the same since. Jesus, born as humbly as humble can be, came into our world, and became a child. That child became an adult, suffered, died, rose again, and now offers being children of God to all of us. We are sons, we are daughters. The will has been read. The property and the graces have been distributed. And we are the heirs. When the fullness of time came, Paul wrote, God was an on-time God and sent his son. There are many threads that kind of weave their way through our sacred texts, our Old and New Testament. But one of the threads that weaves its way through the Old and New Testament is the idea that God is an on-time God. He acts at just the right time. That's why we pray so often at mealtime. When the When God acts, he gives his people what they want and what they need. The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord, and you give them their meat in due season, we say, and we pray, and we mean it. Paul wrote later to the Romans, when we were powerless at the appointed time, Christ died for us. And later Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, now is the right time, and to the Thessalonians, we are in the now time with all the blessings that were his and now ours. There's a praise song. Don't know if we sing it here at Emmanuel. Imagine we have. It's called In His Time. It has a refrain that goes like this. In his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way that you do just what you say in your time. Which means that God was not just an on-time God in the first century. He continues being an on-time God for us today. He's an on-time God. So, what time is it in your world, friend? Time of the year is New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Time to make some resolutions. Most all of us do it. I'm told that 80% of New Year's resolutions have to do with one of four categories. They all start with C, calories, cash, cleaning, and career. Probably about right? Often starting with calories. I understand you can buy some weight scales to put in your bathroom that when you step on it, it speaks the weight that you have. If I were to walk on into the bathroom and step on that in my bathroom 2 days from now, it would probably say something like, dude, it's time. Yeah, it's time. And cash, right? Next year we're going to get on a budget, and next year we're going to live below our means. And the cleaning. Honey, you know those shelves in the bathroom? Oh, well, yeah, what about the basement, honey? Right? And career. Maybe next year, 2018. We'll find that job that we've been waiting for fresh out of college. Or maybe we'll expand where we are and get into something more meaningful. And maybe we'll get closer to what we find to be a job employment of meaning and satisfaction. Cash, calories, cleaning, career. Maybe it's time to dive a little bit deeper than those four C's. We all know that you can't find time, you can't manage time any more than you can find gravity and manage gravity. The best we can do is manage ourselves and make some time for some things. Maybe that means reconnecting with an old friend, sending a note that's been niggling in the back of our mind for months and we haven't sent it, so we resolve and then we follow through in the resolution and we do that. Make time for a phone call that you've been putting off. Make time to visit someone in a nursing home or in a hospital. I believe it to be true that sometimes the most precious thing that we can give someone else is a little slice of our time. Or deeper still, the known world was ready for the birth of Jesus. The soil was fertile on many levels. And into that world, Jesus came. Is there also a need for us? Has the fullness of time come for us individually, for us to prepare the soil of our own souls? Remember how we sang just a few days ago, 5, 6, 7 days ago, that great anthem, Joy to the World? And we sang as part of that song, Let Every Heart Prepare Him Room. And then we sang, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and one of the sentences, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. God's going to come to us, 2018, ready or not. Is there something unfinished in your relationship with your God that you need to address to prepare the way of the Lord? Maybe more time in the world, maybe more time in the Word, maybe more time in fellowship, small groups and so on, here at Emmanuel. More time, maybe, more effort, reaching out to the lost, the least, the lonely, the left out, and the little ones, those who have a claim on some of what we have. more time next year, maybe regularly, maybe privately, most certainly here in corporate worship, to leave the busyness of Hamsterville and to sit down for 10 seconds and say, "Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning of time, is now in time, and will be forever past time," and mean it, and reflect on it, and then reflect on what God has blessed you with. We're sons and daughters, friends, sons and daughters. As you review the life that you spent in 2017, has a time come for you to reposition, to repurpose, to refocus your spiritual life for a new year? Is there a fullness of time that's come for you on several levels this weekend? But back to God, because Galatians 4 is a God thing. It was God's timing. He's an on-time God. I close with a poem, a sort of reading, about the life of Christ and how it changed so dramatically our world now and the world then. It's pre-resurrection, so it's not complete, and yet it expresses in a few words the dramatic impact of Christ on human history. It comes from a writing from 1926. A man named Dr. James Allen Francis was a pastor in the Eastern Seaboard. He wrote a book that included many of the sermons that he thought he wanted to preserve. And in one of those chapters in that book, there was a paragraph which he titled "The Real World," or rather, "The Real Jesus in the Real World." It has come down to us, that poem often titled "A Solitary Life." It goes like this. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a poor woman, a peasant woman. He grew up in another village, and then he worked as a carpenter in his father's carpentry shop until he was age 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never went to college, never owned a home, never wrote a book, never held an office. So far as we know, he never traveled more than 200 miles from his hometown. He never did any of the things we commonly associate with greatness. He really had no credentials except himself. When he was still a young man, the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends abandoned him. One even denied that he ever knew him. On trumped-up charges, he was turned over to his enemies. And after the mockery of a trial, he was hanged between two common thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only thing that he owned in this world, his coat. And when he had died, he was laid in a borrowed tomb through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone, and yet he is the masterpiece, the centerpiece of all of history. I am well within the mark when I say that all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the kings that have ever ruled, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all put together, have not affected the life of man on this earth as has that one solitary life. The fullness of time came. Thanks be to God. Amen.